Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Etta Banks and Minister Tabika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, beloved. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And, of course, I have with me on this beautiful day none other than my magnificent, fantabulous, a confidant, loyal, faithful, spirit-filled, yes, spirit-filled co-host, Minister Tabika Garnes. Good morning, beloved. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
I'm here. I know
that's
where
true.
I am right now. Bless the Lord.
Oh, that is funny.
Lord, I tell you. This has been an interesting morning already. It has been an interesting morning. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. But so glad to hear your voice again. It's good for both of us to be heard. Thank you, Jesus. It's good to be heard. Yes, ma'am. Oh, Lordy. And I don't know if you, well, no, you wouldn't have known it. When I set up the things for the show this morning and I called in, like we had about 5 minutes, I guess, before the show was going to begin, and somewhere along the line as I was doing whatever it was I was doing, I mistakenly hung up and didn't know that I had hung up. And I looked up, and it said I had 19 seconds before the show began. You should have seen me trying to pull the number up real quick and call in. And when I called in, it said, your show will begin in 5 seconds. I was like, okay, Lord, okay. So I'm racing for the time on here already. Yes, 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 but we got in before the show started, so thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well,
good morning
to you lovely people. It's so good to see your numbers popping up here on the screen this morning. I tell you, I just thank God for y'all coming on. I thank God for y'all coming on. Y'all are such a blessing to us, such a blessing to us. So good morning to Tamika Shelton. Good morning, darling. Love you much. Pray that God is continuing to bless you. Good morning to Les and Joyce Rickerson. Praise God. Joyce in New York, good morning to you. Good morning to Deacon Banks. Good morning to Prophetess Kim. Good morning to Nikki Chu. Good morning to Denise in Pennsylvania. Hey, beautiful. Good to see your number. God bless you. God bless you. And good morning to Isaiah in Chicago and to Rob, who's also in Pennsylvania. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Good morning, sir. Glad to see you anytime and every time you're able to join us. Good morning to Deacon Farr. Remember, Deacon Farr has his show, Issues, Christian Men Talk. Y'all check him out. You won't be sorry that you did. You won't be sorry that you did. So, and good morning to all of New Visions members that come on and share this time with us. There was someone else, and I know I'm forgetting them. Can't think of it right now, but anyway, praise the Lord. But good morning to you just the same. Good morning to you. And, again, a wonderful day. We're going to have some interesting information today. So So let me turn things over right now into the hands of Minister Tabika.
Good morning. Good morning again. Apostle, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you, honey. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Will
okay.
you have trouble hearing me?
No, I just have on this different headset, and I wanted to make sure that you could hear me.
Okay, yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Amen. So good morning to each and every one of you. So glad to be on for another day. I'm trying to find a room where it's quiet because I'm with the family this weekend. We're doing family fun weekend, so you know how that goes. It's just noise everywhere, but to God be the glory because it's creating happy times.
Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Again, it's another great morning. I know it's kind of gloomy outside in some place, in some places, but again, you're alive. So that's a wonderful thing. That's an awesome thing. And we still give God glory even in the times where, it's dreary outside. So I'm just glad that I'm alive. I'm glad I can see. I'm glad I can talk. I'm glad I can walk. I'm glad for all these things. So to God be the glory. I'm learning not to take those things for granted. So to God be the glory. Yes. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Glory to your marvelous name, Lord, for there is none like you, Lord God. For you are Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the end, O God, and we give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. There is none like you, Lord God. There is none like you in all the earth, O God. There is none like you. We can search high. We can search low. We can search far. We can search wide and still find that there is none like you, Father, in the name of Jesus, O God. So we just give you praise right now, Lord God. We honor you and we bless you, Lord. We thank you for another day. We thank you for keeping us, Lord God, throughout the night in the name of Jesus, O God. We thank you for covering us and keeping us, O God. We thank you for your protection. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, O God. We thank you, Lord, that there is none like you, Father God. There is none like you. And so, Father God, we just continue to give you praise in spite of whatever is going on right now in our lives. Lord God, we give you praise, and we don't take for granted the things that you have done. We just give you praise, oh God, for just the beauty of who you are, Father God, just the way that you have created things, Lord God, the way that you have created us, the way that you have poured into us, the way that you have just when we look at creation, just the beauty of creation in itself, oh God, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, oh God. We thank you for the life that you have given each and every one of us, oh God. We thank you for the family that you've given us. We thank you for the friends. We thank you for those that you have surrounded us with in the name of Jesus, oh God. We just say thank you, Lord, even in the little things that we sometimes forget to say thank you for, Lord. And so, Father, we just we look forward, Lord God. We don't continue to look backward at what was, Lord God, but we look forward, Father God, so that we may not stumble before the things that the enemy has placed in our way. And so, God, we just say thank you for eyes to see and ears to hear. And I'm talking about spiritual ears. I'm talking about spiritual eyes in the name of Jesus, oh God. And so we thank you even now, oh God, for what you're doing. And we thank you for being the same God yesterday, today, and forever, oh God. We thank you, Father God, that your promises are yes and amen, oh God, and they never return unto you void. So we continue to give you praise, oh God. We continue to honor you. We continue to love on you in the name of Jesus, oh God. We continue to say thank you for all the great things that you have done. We continue, Father God, to be obedient to what it is that you have told us to do, Lord God, even if we don't want to and even if we don't understand, oh God. And so we repent right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. We repent, Father God, for the things that you told us to do or not to do, and we've done those things anyway, or we have not done those things, and all about disobedience. Lord God. We ask for forgiveness, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. Now, touch our hearts, God, and give us a heart of repentance in the name of Jesus, God. Give us a heart of obedience, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God. So we just continue, Lord God, to honor you and love on you and thank you for who you are, God. When I even think about how good you are, Lord God, I get teary-eyed, oh God. I get joyful, Lord, because you are great. You are great, Lord God. And sometimes life tries to snuff that greatness out and causes us to see only the bad things that happen. God, but you are a good thing. You are a great thing. You are awesome. You're not a thing, Lord God. You are awesome, Father, in the name of Jesus, because you overshadow all of those bad things that we go through, Father God. And so again, Lord God, I say thank you. Lord God, I ask that you help those that are struggling right now, struggling with depression, Lord God, struggling with the loss of loved ones, Lord God, struggling with the loss of their jobs, oh God, or the loss of their marriages, Lord God, whatever it is that they're going through, Lord God, I just pray a prayer of peace be with them, Father, in the name of Jesus. We love you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. God is
thank
good.
You.
God is good. In the ministry, you know, you will get calls all times of day and night for help. And as ministers, you know, we are to be as prepared as we can to help those that call us, you know, no matter what time it is. And I got a call this morning. It was exactly 3:58 that I got this call this morning. And it was someone that's very dear to me. I haven't spoken to her since my mother passed, or one time since my mother passed, because her mother passed shortly after mine did. And she's still dealing with a very heavy depression. And, you know, her heart is broken, just having a hard time. That's all I want to say, basically. And so I'm just sending a special prayer out to her. God knows who she is. I'm not going to mention her name right now, but God knows who she is. And she just needed some help and to be able to get some joy back in her life. And so I just want to, just when you think about it, in your prayers today, just pray for those people that are grieving due to loss of a loved one. And that loss could be through death. It could be through divorce and separation. It could be a loss in giving birth, and you lose the child giving birth. You know, there's a lot of ways we lose loved ones. So please say a prayer for those that are going through. And I want to give a special shout out to Pastor Charles and Deacon Charles, who's in the hospital recovering from surgery. To God be the glory. May he recover quickly. And she's been in the hospital with him ever since the surgery, so sleeping there day in, day out. And, you know, the praying her strength in the Lord. So we want to keep her in prayer. Let's keep Joyce in New York in prayer as well. And, you know, these are just a few people that we know that aren't doing well. So, again, you know, we want to keep them in prayer. Well, this morning, this will be the last session, not unless I don't get it all covered. This will be the last session of our deliverance series, and it has really been touching the hearts of people We got so many phone calls and text messages about the deliverance piece. The first one we did was the 12 open doors, I believe. I think that was the first one that we did with a deliverance. And, you know, then dealing with the root of rejection and the 10 fruits of rejection. I don't know if I did the legal rights on here, because I'm doing it here and also doing it for church, but dealing with the legal rights that the demons have to us and so forth. So we've done those things, and today we're going to give you the steps of walking in self-deliverance, walking in self-deliverance. There are times when you realize you need deliverance and you can't get to somebody to help you with that deliverance. And there are things that you can do to bring yourself to a place of deliverance. There are things that you can do. Normally, deliverance is done with the person, the deliverer, that's the person that's receiving deliverance, and at least two people forming, that's the smallest team that you should have when you're doing deliverance, is two people. It's good if you can have three or four people. And when you have three or four people, you know, now you have somebody that is reading scripture while the deliverance is going on. You have somebody that's praying and interceding while the deliverance is going on, depending on the environment, the atmosphere, and where it's actually taking place. You might even have some soft music even playing in the background. What kind of music do we call this? Soaking music, something soft, something maybe light instrumental, no words with it, because you got other words in the atmosphere. And even for those that are praying and interceding, they don't need to be in the exact room with you. They can be praying in another room, or if they're in the room with you while the team leader is doing and talking to the deliverer and doing the session, they will be praying in silence. And if the Lord gives them any discernment on what spirit that we may need to deal with, because we may be calling out and dealing with certain spirits, but there's something else there that the intercessor, and you want an intercessor that's prophetic and one that operates with the spirit of discernment, someone that hears from God, and they're able to let you know that there's another spirit here that hasn't been dealt with. And let the team lead know that. So there are different ways of doing the deliverance, but always, beloved, if you can, if you're having it done by someone else, prayerfully they will always have two people in the room. Psalm 34:4 says, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears." And fear, of course, is a great a spirit that we need to be delivered from. But the purpose for that verse right now is to let you know that the Lord will deliver you. He absolutely will deliver you, and that's something that must be done. That is something that must be done. We don't want to walk around and keep all of the things that we were doing beforehand. We don't want to keep those things going on in our lives and keeping us bound. Now, before I do those steps, I want to give you the definition of one of the words that you will hear me say. You know, because we say we say a lot of church lingo, language, vocabulary, and people who don't attend church often don't know what those words mean, or people who even attend church often may not know what the word means. So I want to define one of the words that we will be speaking about, which is in one of the steps that we're doing. And the word is renounce. And that's going to be the third key when I give this teaching here. But let me tell you what the word renounce is, so I won't have to stop and explain it at that point. Renounce means to refuse to follow. It means or to refuse to follow or to recognize any longer. It means detach yourself from it, no longer be involved with it or in it. Let's see, what else? It means to give up the bondage to all possessions. So when you renounce something, like when you renounce the fraternity that you are a member of, you're giving up your membership and discounting all of your vows that you took and the covenants that you took to belong to that fraternity. So that's what renounce is. So when you hear me say you need to renounce things, it's giving up, these things. Detaching yourself from them, refusing to follow them, refusing to obey those old ways, or refusing to recognize them any further. So that's the one word that I felt that we needed to explain what it means as we go through this. So the first thing in self-deliverance is to recognize you have a problem. Recognize that you have a problem. You cannot change anything in your life that you do not recognize. If you're overweight and you don't recognize the fact that you're overweight, you won't do anything to lose weight, because to you, you're not overweight. If you are drinking too much, if you won't recognize the fact that I'm drinking more often than I should, several times a day or every single day, and maybe a drink every single day isn't bad, but then when I drink every single day, I'm drinking numerous shots of what I'm drinking. I may end up getting intoxicated, inebriated, whatever the case may be. You don't try to stop it if you don't recognize that you're doing it. If you're an overeater, all of these things, you have to recognize the fact that you're doing it. If you're hooked on pornography and drugs and whatever the case may be, recognize that you have a problem. And then do what Psalms 34:4 says. I sought the Lord, and I realized, I got an issue. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. So that is step number one, recognize that you have a problem. Step number two is repent of known sins. Repent of known sins. In recognizing we have a problem, we're confessing that problem, okay? That's one of the things we're doing. We're confessing that we have the issue. Now that we have confessed that we have an issue, then we want to repent. We want to turn away from it. We go in the opposite direction. One of the things that I like to say when we're talking about repenting is you not only turning around, going in the opposite direction, but you're running back to God. You're running back to God as we repent. We want to be in his good graces, and so we want to repent. So we've confessed the sins in our life, confessed our problems, telling God we want change here. We repent from it. We had made up our mind that we are turning away from those ways. And listen, let me tell you this. You can repent and it not be in a sin for sin. And so to give you a secular a version of it, we repent a lot during the day. Repenting is changing your mind. That's what it is. It's a change of mindset. We're changing our mind. You know, I believed this way at one point in time, but now I've gathered some further information, and the information that I've gathered is causing me to change what I believe. So I have changed my mind. So that's repenting. One person told me that when you're driving down the street and you realize you've gone the wrong way, what do? You do your best to make a U-turn and go back the other way. That's exactly what I explained repentance was, making a turn. You're turning away from where you were, and you're going back in the opposite direction. For us, it's going back to God. For you, if you're driving down the road and going west, and you need to be going east, you're going to make a U-turn and go east. You've repented. You had a change of mind. You turned around. So that is repentance. And so now the next thing we're doing, number three, is renouncing all contact with the devil. Renouncing all contact with the devil. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We renounce all of the things we did, the things we did, the things that where we made covenants and so forth and so on. You renounce the hidden things. Nobody knows you did it but you and who you did it with, to or for. You renounce the hidden things. You renounce the shame. And remember, renouncing was to break away from it, not deal with it anymore. Whatever it was I told you renouncing is, that's what you want to do with the things I'm mentioning now and anything else that you can come up with. You want to renounce covenants that were made in fraternities, sororities, in your family history, the covenants that were made, vows that were made. You made a vow with certain people. You need to renounce those vows. Witchcraft, renounce guilt, promise, guilt and promises. Renounce the secret sins. Renounce demonic objects, demonic spells. Whatever the Lord brings to your mind, denounce any of the occult things that you've done, astrology, horoscope, whatever. You want to renounce those things. Remember, that means refuse to follow them, refuse to obey them. Don't recognize them any further. Detach yourself from it. So that's you renouncing it. Be willing to set aside your present habits of thought and your present views, your prejudices, your present way of life. It's necessary. You want to renounce all of those things, anything that would come against the word of God. So that was number three. Number four, you want to release yourself in the name of Jesus. Release yourself in the name of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3 and 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So you want to release yourself. I release myself from the spirit of fear, from the spirit of depression, spirit of bondage, spirit of suicide, spirit of pride and unbelief, spirit of rejection, anything that you can think of, spirit of addiction. You know, the list goes on and on. Release yourself. Once you have renounced these things, now hear me, once you have renounced them, once you're detaching yourself from it, then you release yourself from it, that you are no longer going to carry this thing with you. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So you want to, again, release yourself of those things, Tabika, you want to pick up number 5? Do you have that with you, darling?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, awesome. Precious. Go ahead. You can go ahead.
Okay. So the next one
and
is...
And if you want to say anything up to the other four, you go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. So the next one is you want to resist the enemy, James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, in that scripture, the beginning, it says that you have a part to play, which is you have to submit to God. Then you resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But you have to submit, because if not, you can't do this by yourself. And so... In order to resist the enemy, you need to be submitted to God, because if not, the enemy will walk all over you. Number 6, replace what the Lord delivered you from. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so you want to replace the things that the Lord delivered you from. Now, you don't replace them with other bad things. You replace those things with God things, with godly things. Make sure that in everything you do, you glorify the Lord. In everything that you do, you glorify the Lord. And so if you had issues with, like, pornography, issues with, like, sexual sins and things like that, make sure that you don't go back and start watching those things again. Or if anything gives a hint of those things, you want to turn away from them. And so instead of watching those types of movies and videos or whatever, you want to basically replace that with, like, godly movies, things that don't make your mind and your spirit begin to crave those things again. And so in order... You want to make sure that, because just to know that those things are going to try to creep at your doorstep again. So you want to be mindful of not going backwards, or making sure that the things that you're watching are good for your spirit or feeding you the correct way. Number 7.
Let me jump in here if you could, a minute, please. Another thing, to give you a few more things in dealing with replacing, if you are dealing with the spirit of rejection, if you're dealing with the spirit of rejection, you replace that with the spirit of acceptance. Where do you find the spirit of acceptance? In the Word of God. Know that you are accepted by the Most High God. You see, and when in number 5, when baby girl said, submit to God. Listen, saints, I cannot tell you how important that submission, I'm going to try, but I can't tell you how important that submission to God is. When you're dealing with demons, okay, this is not a plaything that you're dealing with. It is not a plaything. You have got to be submitted to God, where you're turning your life around so much, you're open to that change, open to that turnaround, so very, very much. You got to be sold out, because, see, when we do deliverance and you get rid of these things, these spirits that has bogged you down, kept you in bondage, when you get rid of these things, if you don't replace them with godly things, then the enemy comes back, because you swept your house clean, you're clean. Then the enemy comes back with his mother, father, sister, brother, uncle, cousin, and the neighbor, okay, comes back with spirits 7 times stronger than what he was. And so now you are worse off than you were when you first started your deliverance. Submission, and I'm glad she said that. That's the first step there. You got to submit to God. Then you're able to resist God. So now when we say replace, if you had the rejection, replace it with the spirit of acceptance. Where do you get it? I'm going back to what I said. You go back to the Word of God. Now that you're submitted to God, you need to be in the Word of God to find out what God is saying about you. If you dealt with unforgiveness and hatred and bitterness, you got to replace that now. If you got delivered from unforgiveness, you replace that now with forgiveness. You replace it with forgiveness. You replace hatred with love. Find out in Ephesians what the fruit of the Spirit is. The word fruit there means the evidence of or the characteristic of the Holy Spirit. Find out what those characteristics are and replace in your life. Put that in your life, in your spirit, man. Put that in you instead of all the negative things that you did. And then, like Baby Girl said, you know, if you spent time looking at pornography, the time even that you spent looking at pornography, take that time and spend looking at Christian shows on TV, you know, on Netflix or whatever the thing may be. So the time that you spent doing things, replace that time with godly stuff. Replace the money that you spent on things that were wrong. Take that money and sow it into the kingdom. So replacing, there's a lot of ways of replacing. And I didn't mean to take over, baby.
There's
a lot of ways to replace what you have gotten rid of. You don't have to, you know, sometimes the spirits that we deal with, we become so accustomed to these spirits. We have lived with them, some of them, all of our life. We are comfortable with it. We don't see anything wrong with it. That's why we had to go back to the beginning and say, you got to recognize that there's a problem. You have lived with something so long that you don't recognize that it's wrong, that, you know, I shouldn't be doing this. Because it has become an everyday form of living. There are people who are comfortable in their sickness. They have been sick for years. They are comfortable with it. If you talk to them about healing, they say they want to be healed. However, you listen to the words that come out of their mouth. They say at one moment they want to be healed, but then everything else in them is saying, but I'm okay here. I'm really okay here, you know. So just watch yourself in the submission to God, replacing, getting in your word, and so forth and so on. All right, baby girl, go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. Renew your mind in Jesus Christ. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So renewing your mind, because it's a lot that your mind took in during that time of sin. And so you have to change your mind, and the only way to do that is you have to renew it in Christ Jesus, not in things of the world, mm-hmm. not in your own thinking, not in the thinking of others, but in Christ Jesus. So that means that you have to go to the Word of God, and you have to read that word, meditate on it, let it take over your heart. And then the things that, you know, that the Bible instructs us to do, we have to do those things. Like, it's not one of those things, because, you know, a lot of people be like, well, the Bible was written for back then, you know, for those people back then. And it wasn't. It was written for us in mind. We were on God's mind when the Bible was inspired. You know, he inspired the Bible. Yes, it was written by, physically written by a human, but it was inspired by God. So that means that mm-hmm. that information came from him. Those stories that we read of particular people in there, those stories did happen, you know, then, but they're also ways of life that we can take on or we can learn from. So people just want to just throw it away as if it no longer matters, but it does. Mm-hmm. And so what you used to read, maybe you used to read Playboy and all these other secular things, and that's where your mind was. So now you have to change your mind and read the Word and let the Word become your guide, let the Word lead your life. Number 8, remain rooted in the house of God. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Right, okay. That means that you need to be surrounded with people who love God. Those people can pour into you. Those people, when you feel like you're struggling in some areas, those people are there for you to pour. They can pour back into you. They can minister to you. They can encourage you so that you don't go backwards. And so when you isolate yourself or you feel like, oh, I don't have to go, you know, to the building, I don't have to be around those people, I can do this on my own, that's a trick from the enemy, because he wants to isolate you and get you by yourself, because that when you're by yourself, that's when you'll begin to start thinking about those things again. And so if you don't have the positive in your life, the people that can pour back into you, the enemy's voice will become louder again, and before you know it, you may have drifted back into those places where you once were. So having a strong support system is something that you need. You need a support system. You need people that are going to pour back into you. Apostle, you want to say something?
Thank you so much, sweetheart. Yes. With this piece here, and it says, remain rooted in the house of God, and Minister Tabika is telling you, how you have to stay with a Christian support system. You don't have to necessarily be in the church, but groups that get together, and again, it's Christian support. And so I know people that I might be their only Christian friend. All of their friends claim to be saved, all of their friends, the two or three that they have, they claim to be saved, and they do not give any godly counsel, none whatsoever. They give no godly counsel. And that is not where God wants you rooted. He says, be rooted in the house of God. Be rooted in the assembling of yourselves together, exalting one another according to the word of God. So much more as you see the day approaching, as we're getting closer and closer to the time of the return of God, we need to be sure that our conversation is with people that's going to lead us to Christ. I've said this once before when we were dealing with relationships. If your friends are the type of friends that agree with you on everything that you come to them and complain to them about your relationship, and don't know what the other person's side is, don't tell you when you're wrong, don't tell you that you need to be doing this, that, and the other in order to make things work. If that's the type of friends you have, seriously, you've got the wrong type of friends. Tabika will tell me quick, fast, and in a hurry. Now, sometimes because of where my head is, she will have to pray before she say, because I do believe y'all, we need to pray before we say. She has to pray while I'm talking. She got to pray and then say, Apostle, come on. You know better. That's not the way we ought to think. Or maybe she tries to let me put the shoe on the other foot. What if you were in their position and so forth? And if your friends aren't doing that type of stuff, and again, The thing is, we all know the phrase, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? If your people are not ministering to you in that fashion, these are earthly, secular, non-spiritual friends. And again, I say, if they agree with you, you can tell them that you did something that was wrong and the other person, you know, did something and so forth, and they will agree with you. That's not what God is talking about here. This is not the assembling yourselves together. This is not the group of friends he wants you to be with. He wants you to assemble yourselves together with godly men and women. Godly men and women that's going to give you godly counsel. Right, Minister Tamika?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I'm telling you. Yep. You know, when it comes to renewing your mind and resisting the devil, you know, all of us, girl, all of us want to be with somebody that's going to tell us we're right. That we, just the way we are right. Everybody who wants to hear, baby, no, you messed up. Who wants to hear that? We all want to be with somebody. Tell me I'm right. Come on, agree with me. Agree with me. That's not what God is looking for us. And we shouldn't be looking for that. And if that's all you're looking for, and if that's all you have in your friends, you need to change your friends.
Right.
You need to find another house to assemble in.
Amen.
You need to find another place to assemble.
Amen. We do have two callers that wish to speak. The first one, your last four digits is 9021. Good morning. Hello.
It's Joyce in New York. Joyce? Mm. Joyce? I don't know whether she presses her button and just doesn't. Joyce, are you muted on your phone, honey? Okay, go on to Mark, honey. Go ahead.
Okay. Hold on.
There you go.
Okay.
Oh, I got him.
Mark, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, my love. Good morning, beloved.
Good morning, beloved.
How are you guys doing? You guys, oh my God, you guys are always just your topics. Like, I'm at work, but I every time I jump in, it's like I jump in just at the right moment. But in any case, two things I wanted to comment on, which you were just speaking about, and something I believe you shared it with us, but I'm from the context that I remember it, but you shared with us that the Spirit of God, the Word of God, the Spirit of God offends the flesh. So if your flesh is not offended by God, or not offended by the Word of God, or offended by those that are speaking forth the Word of God, you have to reevaluate where your flesh is at, because that's the truth. Like, the flesh is offended by God. So if we're living out of the flesh, if someone's conversation, if someone's telling you something, and they're saying that it's from the Word of God, and it doesn't offend your fleshly desires, you need to evaluate, where is that word coming from? What is the root of that word? Because it's not of God. If it's not offending the flesh, it's not God and flesh just don't line up. It's just how it is. It just doesn't line up. So when I heard that, I was like, yeah, I recognize a lot of times we want to hear, like you said, we want to hear someone saying, oh, yeah, you're right, that's exactly, you should have said that to him, you should have said that to her, or, oh, my goodness, yeah, they were wrong. You want to hear that. But godly counsel will tell you, beloved, you need to recognize that there's things you need to adjust and you need to do. There's things that you can change. The best way to see change is for you to change, especially when it comes to marriage and when it comes to relationship. The best way for you to change your relationship is for you to change in your relationship. If you have a standpoint where you're not moving and you're not adjusting, then there's no growth for either one of you. So just wanted to say that. And then I'm sorry, I wanted to jump back. I had to I had to mute out because I was running doing something. When you talked about submitting to the word of God, I've come to recognize that when you submit, not only are the spirits that you are delivered from cast out and removed, but the spirits that you didn't even know were still at work in you are illuminated, and you begin to recognize them because you become submissive to God. And now your spirit is so strong that the flesh is shown to be what it really is. So the things that the enemy has been able to hide from you and keep you in bondage with is now illuminated, so you know how to pray and how to fight and be delivered from those things. So when you submit in your deliverance, it opens the door for even greater submission and greater deliverance, because you allowed the word of God, you allowed the spirit of God to move, and you let the Holy Spirit come in and take control because you were submissive and allowed him to move. We've said it so many times before, and we recognize that God is a gentleman. He's not coming in and just say, do this, and do that. He's saying, my child, I'm offering this if you do that. So if you become submissive, God continues to move and show you more. So those are the two things I just wanted to jump in and say real quick, and just thank you both for the awesome job that you do and what you share. This is truly, truly speaking to the heart of the people. So thank God for both of you. That was it.
Amen.
God be the glory.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. My God. My God. Go ahead, beloved.
That was awesome. Now let me try to remember where I was.
You are number 9 to start.
Number 9.
I know. That was a good word. That was a good word.
Right. Number 9, remove any objects from your house that connect you to your past sin. So that would be like Playboy magazines. That would be like the videos you used to watch. Well, I don't think anybody has VHS tapes anymore, or DVDs, things of that nature. So you want to just remove anything that may take you back to that past sin, anything that may be sitting there that may be tempting you to watch or touch or listen. You want to get rid of that stuff. Burn it, take it to the dump, let them burn it or whatever it is that they do with it. Don't hold on to things that, because Apostle talked about that, I think, before, about objects that are are used in the occult, the things that we pick up from these different stores and we don't know the root of it, where it came from, what it was used for. It just looks pretty. It looks like something you want to decorate your house with, but what you don't know is it was used in rituals of different cultures. So you just need to do your homework on when you bring different objects into your house. Do your homework on it. Check out what it meant. What did they use it for? If things have meaning behind it. So just be careful with those things, because you're bringing curses in your home. And then all of a sudden things are going on in your home and you're like, what is going on? And so you have to try to figure out, okay, then what did I just bring in my house? Because that could be the culprit of many of things that are going on in people's houses. What did I bring in my house? And if you can identify that, get rid of it right away. I don't care if you spent $1,000 on it. Get rid of it. And, you know, it's easier to say because I didn't spend $1,000, but but if you spent $1,000 on it, if it's part of witchcraft and occult, you better get rid of it. That's all I'm going to say.
Get rid of it.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Apostle, I'm turning it back over to you.
All righty, darling. Now, while she's saying get rid of these things, you know, look in your – first you ask the Holy Spirit to check for the obvious, you know, where you can check for these things. Check in your attic, your basement, and your storage unit, storage room in your house. Scan your digital space, what's on your phone, your computer. Scan those things. See what you have on there that is ungodly. Get rid of it. Photos. Go through your photos. You need to get rid of. There's some photos that people have that they just absolutely need to get rid of. Again, nothing godly about it. You don't have to get rid of family reunion pictures and things like that, but when you got, you know, many people have sexual stuff shown on in their photos, you need to get rid of that. There are photos that people have from relationships that they have soul ties with. Nothing sexual about the picture. It's just that these are people you have soul ties with. And in your deliverance, you're getting rid of soul ties. Get rid of those pictures, okay? Again, because these pictures, these are people that you are tied to spiritually. And we're not to be tied to people spiritually like that. That's not supposed to be in our life. Mothers and daughters can have a soul tie. Fathers and their daughters can have a soul tie. Now, sure, these people are supposed to be in your life. You don't get rid of the picture of your mother or your daughter. You don't get rid of that. However, you've got to break the soul tie. And so that now, you know, you're not answering to each other in the manner that you answered in the soul tie. But the photo part really had to do with past relationships, sexual stuff that you have in your photos. Those things you need to get rid of. Things that you have saved from previous relationships. Again, that's still dealing with a soul tie type of thing, because you will look at certain things that will take you back to there. Your feeling of rejection will come up. Your feeling of being unloved will come up. Your feeling of abandonment will come up. And you know, you just are out of whack. So things that you have saved from these relationships, you need to get rid of them if that's where it's going to take you to. Things online that don't glorify God. So, again, that would be dealing with the pornography. That would be dealing, and listen, it doesn't have to be straight-up pornography, but if it could be, okay, if you like looking at videos of men and women twerking, okay, you need to stop looking at that, because all that does is get you excited sexually. You know, so you need to not look at that. If you're looking at, okay, if you have a spirit of unforgiveness, which I told you all leads to bitterness, hatred, and murder, and you spend your time looking at violent movies where there's murder in it, stabbing, shooting, you know, beating people up and so forth, and you make that your pastime, that feeds that spirit of wanting to kill somebody. It feeds it. And so you have to stop looking at those type of things, because you're feeding a demon. And, you know, whatever you feed, if you feed your flesh more, you're going to get more of your flesh and living the way the world lives. If you feed your spirit more, you're going to get more of the spirit, and you'll lead a spiritual life. So you have to change and remove these things and so forth. So don't be afraid to do so. Don't be afraid to do so. Here is keeping your deliverance. It's so important, thanks to God, after we get delivered, that we keep our deliverance. So many people, again, like I say, slip back into the old ways, because the old ways are comfortable. It's very easy to fall back into your old ways. But in keeping your deliverance, you keep your house spiritually clean. I just told you how to clean out the house. You clean out your physical house. You clean it out also your body, the temple of the Holy Spirit, that house as well. Clean your house, or keep your house spiritually clean. Perfect love casts out all fear. And here, perfect love means maturity. As you spiritually are maturing, you know, you're able to keep your house clean. You're able to submit unto God. You're able to give God, relinquish your control and give him permission to do some running some things in your life for you. You're able to do that. So you mature in the word spiritually. Exodus 23 and 30 says, little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and inherit the land, and inherit the land. And so here we're going to use this for in the deliverance package here of the fact that little by little, demonic forces, demonic influences are being driven out from you until you increase spiritually. You increase spiritually, and then you can inherit the land. You can walk in victory. You can walk as an overcomer. So do listen to the word of God. You are to confess your sins and your family's sins, daily confessing sins, daily confessing sins, and as you confess your sins, you repent. And remember, you acknowledge that there's a sin here, you repent. I know I'm the type of person that when I read a book, a spiritual book, a Christian book, you know, whatever the case may be, when I read one and they're explaining anything dealing with the word of God and they explain something and I said, oh, my God, I didn't know that was wrong and it was something I was doing. I didn't know that was wrong. So immediately right there, I don't wait till I'm finished the book, right there in that paragraph, I immediately begin to confess my sin unto God. I repent from it. Father, forgive me. I don't want to do this anymore, Lord God. You know, thank you for your grace and your mercy. You didn't cast me out while I was doing this and doing this unknowingly. You know, so you do it on a daily basis. And when it says your family sin, that's dealing with iniquity. You know, your family ancestral sin. But not only that, let's do what Job did. Job prayed for his sons and daughters daily. He said, because they may be sinning and they may not be praying for themselves. You pray for your children, your children's children. Pray for the sins that they may be committing, sins that you know about, sins you don't know about. But this will help you keep your deliverance and help them to get delivered. Then again, you renounce things. I will never go back to this. Rip up contracts. You know, I won't go back to this. I refuse to do so. And take a stand. That's part of you resisting the devil. When you are ripping up vows, people that belong to Masons and the Shriners and this, that, and the other, renounce these things. Turn away from it. And anything that you find out in your life that you've made a vow to, get rid of it. It is not of God. Get rid of it. Then command the demons to come out in the name of Jesus. Command the demons to come out, helping to keep your deliverance when you acknowledge stuff as you go along. Command them to come out. And I don't have the scripture pulled up. James chapter 4 and verse 7, if you're writing down anything. James chapter 4, verse 7 was the scripture that I have noted here, but I don't have it pulled up right now. And then don't forget that you have authority over demons. Beloved, you have authority over demons. You have authority over them in Jesus' name. I know with the way that they have run havoc in our lives, because most of us have been sinners and unsaved longer than we've been saved, most of us. We got a lot of habits and things that are in us. Again, like I said, they seem normal to us. What's wrong with that? That's normal. So you don't give it up. You don't want to turn away from it. However, in Jesus' name, Jesus told us to do these things in his name. And the Bible tells us that every demon, must bow at the name of Jesus. So he gave you the authority to use his name. Use the name of Jesus, and demons have to bow. They must go. Command them to come out and hold on to, again, your deliverance through this. And don't get the picture of all the time when you're being delivered from demons, you're being thrown in the floor, rolling around, throwing up, you know, snotting and all of that stuff. That's not always the way it happens. Deliverance can be a quiet, easy thing. It can be coughing. It can be sneezing. It can be hiccuping. It actually can even come out passing gas. They expel through any part of your body where something can escape from. It does it. There are demons that have an odor to it, and the odor will seep out of your flesh, out of your skin, your pores. So demons will come out in all kinds of manners. But in all of this, beloved, when you get delivered, do what is necessary to keep your house clean. There's a lot of information on YouTube about deliverance, about self-deliverance. And one of the teachers that I like that does a lot, he has a great deliverance ministry. I forget what country he's from. It might be Russia. I'm not sure. Something connected over there. If I can remember the spelling of his name, it's V as in Victor, L-A-D, Pastor Ladd, V as in Victor, L-A-D, and his last name begins with an S. But he has great tapes on deliverance and self-deliverance and so forth and so on. And a lot of the steps that I went over with you is stuff that I got from his teaching. It's stuff that I got from his teaching. So, again, I encourage you to you don't have to wait till somebody is coming to help you out. Now, listen, most of us need help, okay? Most of us need help. If you're not strong spiritually, you need help. Don't go and try and do this by yourself, okay? This is for the more mature Christian to do these things. This is for the more mature Christian. You know, I can sit here in my own home and on the level of spirituality that I am, and I can walk myself through this. This is not for a baby Christian who don't know what it is to repent or submit to God and so forth and so on. So, you know, be sure you're in the right place. Be sure that you are in the right place spiritually to do this type of stuff. And last but not least, John 8:36. The scripture says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. He who the Son makes free is free indeed. Beloved, if you've been delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ, you are free indeed. And don't you believe it when the enemy comes back and tells you that you're not. Okay? You are free indeed. Don't buy into his propaganda. Remember, he comes but to steal, kill, and to destroy. He just wants to get you psyched up believing that nothing happened, where you have been cleansed, but he'll convince you that you didn't. So beware of that. Beware of that. All right, precious hearts, the lesson for today, that was our lesson for today. And so before we say goodbye, I pray that this has helped you all. Before we say goodbye, is there anything that anyone wants to say before we hang up and end this show? Going once, going twice. Three times. All righty. So we're all fine. Everybody is well. All right, beloved. Remember that heart to heart, where we get to the heart of the matter, here's a place where you can bring people, and we do our best, you know, to bring you the Word of God, relationships, relationship with God, relationship with one another, teachings, however God brings it. You know, it's always something to help you to grow closer in your relationship with God and then to one another. We love you. Take care. Meet you back here next Saturday. Those from New Vision, we'll see you in church on tomorrow on Zoom. We'll see you on tomorrow. Take care. We love you. Bye, Tabiga.
Bye-bye. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.